PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
Hey PTs, are you maxed out on hours? You tired of endless patient notes? Still chipping away at those student loans? PTLive.me is an on-demand patient clinic hub helping licensed PTs get ahead of the rat race. Stay tuned for more or check out ptlive.me.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, tonight on the PT Pintcast, our guest this evening has worked as a traveling physical therapist for almost 10 years, working for more than 20 different facilities. He and his wife, also a PT, spend their winters working in Aspen, Colorado, where the beer flows like wine. They now call that area home. Currently living the dream, working in Hawaii for the summer. Outside of the clinic, he likes things outdoors, participates in APTA leadership, and runs the website hobohealth.com, which focuses on educating others about the opportunities available through work as a traveling therapist. Tonight on the show, Hobo Health himself, James Spencer. James, welcome to the program, my man.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, living the dream. I just want to paint the picture for everybody right now. It's 11 p.m. on Friday night on the East Coast, and what time is it there in Hawaii? I'm bad at math.
About 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Got off work in the clinic and back home relaxing.
Okay, I'm going to paint the picture wearing the Hawaiian shirt, and I like that a lot. All right, first question is always the hardest on the show. What are we drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a Maui Big Swell IPA, a delicious hoppy beer out of Maui Brewing Company, which is just one island over. Hashtag drink local.
Love drink it. Local. I like that a lot. And I like the fact that you're doing that Hawaiian beer. I like it. I am going...
This is out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going the Sweetwater Blue tonight. So cheers to you, James, as we embark upon another episode. And I just wrapped one up. I released the episode. By the time you guys are hearing this, I'll have released Nick Ballinger's episode. But I recorded both of these back-to-back in one evening. So I'm having a hell of a beer-drinking evening, and we're just casting some pod left and right. But looking forward to it because I don't think we've touched on the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, which is travel PT. So the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. 10 years doing travel PT. You're living the dream. Work for more than 20 different facilities. You do your winters in Colorado and Aspen. I'm guessing you're a skier. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Love the skiing in the winter.
And then what? You just go around picking the most badass places to work and you go there? You're living the dream.
You know, like you mentioned, my wife is a traveling PT too. And we started, you know, back in 2006, started getting into travel PT and went out to Colorado for a summer and enjoyed the Colorado Springs area. But then as winter started to approach, started to look at ski towns, some buddies from Boston who had just quit their real jobs, quote unquote real jobs, moved out to Colorado and were saying, we're moving to Aspen. And my wife and I said, we're coming with you. And that all of a sudden became the place we go back to every winter. And then the summers we still spend going other places. It was never a plan to do it this way. You know, I think the original plan was to travel for 2 years, but 2 years turned into four, turned into six, and now it's just an open-ended project.
Wow. So where are you from originally? Where did you grow up? Where'd you go to PT school and all that?
I'm from just outside of Boston originally. Ended up going to Northeastern University for undergrad and physical therapy. Graduated in 2006 with my master's and pretty quickly got my transitional DPT.
And how about the wife? Did she go to school with you guys or did you meet along the way?
Same exact thing. Yep, we met freshman year of college. Ended up dating later on in college, in PT school.
That's cute.
Did our DPTs together. It's a pretty good story.
That's awesome. All right, so travel PT. First of all, why is it a thing? Why are there need to bring, you know, hired guns in from the outside? Why is travel PT an actual thing?
You know, I think this is part of the fear of travel PT, of people who want to go do it. You know, who's constantly looking for a PT? Who needs someone to replace their normal workers and step
why?
In? And the biggest why of it is that we don't have enough physical therapists.
Okay.
Right now, ABTA estimates that we have about 28,000 unfilled full-time positions in the country. And they've done some estimates out for the next 10 or so years. And the estimates vary, but the highest estimate is that over the next 10 years, we'll still have not enough PTs by a number of 18,000.
Wow. So a deficit of 18,000. So let's tell you, if you're thinking about there, you're out there and you're listening, you're thinking, maybe I'll go to PT school. There's going to be a job for you somewhere.
And to be perfectly honest, they have other estimates that say we'll have too many PTs by that time. I really don't tend to buy them for different reasons.
Let's just start right there. What's travel PT? You know, I always like to approach, you know, doing an episode on this show like I know the least about a topic, and I think it's easy with this because I don't know much about it other than there's an opening somewhere and you're going to go there. It's a contract. You're going to go there for a certain length of time. And other than that, I don't know anything about travel PT. So how would you explain it if someone says, what do you do? And you say travel PT, and they say, what's that? What's your response?
What I do has evolved into something a little bit different over the years, but your standard travel PT contract assignment is a 13-week assignment where a clinic is looking for someone to step in for a temporary amount of time while they're looking for a permanent person to fill that position. And that can come for a lot of different reasons, whether it be a maternity leave, maybe they're just downstaffed, maybe they're in a remote area like I am now where there's no PT programs nearby and they have a hard time getting people to move here.
And what island are you on right now again?
I'm on the island of Molokai. Oh. It's a small rural island. It's just one step over from Maui.
Wow, living the dream out there in Hawaii, I'll tell you. So you're coming out of PT school or you're a current PT right now and you're thinking about, hey, this guy's doing this thing. He's worked for 20 facilities. He's in Hawaii. He's doing Colorado. I want to find an assignment as a travel PT. This is what I'm going to do. This sounds cool. I'm going to see different parts of the country. How do you do that? What's the best approach? Do you find a recruiter or what?
Well, you don't have to find a recruiting agency, but that's a good way to start. To find a recruiter, someone that you can talk with that will listen to you and listen to what you need in your travel experience, whether it be some professional development. If you're a newer PT and you need some mentorship, you should have a recruiter that's accepting of that and will listen to you and try to fulfill those needs. There's about 300 different recruiting agencies out there in the U.S.
Wow, that many?
There's just a huge amount of choice. So if anybody finds a recruiter or an agency that you don't think is meeting your needs, you need to ditch them and go find somebody else. But basically, you end up talking typically with one recruiter from that company. You tell them your needs, what you're looking for, where you're looking for it, what setting you're looking to work in, and they, in the best scenario, do their best job to find that job for you.
Would you recommend this for someone who is coming out of school as your first position? Would you say, hey, this is a good idea? Is this a good fit, a bad fit? Because I'll be honest, if you're a PT student right now and you're looking for a job, listening to James talk about winters in Aspen and summers in Hawaii, that's not a bad gig. Does it fit a new PT, a hashtag fresh PT?
I think this is probably the most contentious thing we'll cover today. A lot of new grads obviously go straight into travel PT. I myself, I worked for 6 months in a private practice before I started traveling. I kind of had it on my horizon, knowing it might be something I wanted to do. But I think that 6 months in a steady clinic where I could learn a lot, get mentored, and kind of grow myself as, for the first time in my life, unsupervised PT, you know, just working on my own license without really that defined role of being able to go to someone else to ask for help. Those 6 months that I took helped me grow a lot and made me a lot more secure as a traveling PT. I don't think new grads should go straight into travel PT. I think they should work for a little bit, grow their skills, and then look into it, whether it be 6 months or a year and a half. You know, travel PT isn't going anywhere, but sometimes that, you know, that life circumstance is just right when you're coming out of school, and sometimes it's the best opportunity you're going to have to go into travel PT.
What are some good reasons to go into travel PT? Seeing the country, seeing different parts of the world, really. Let's say you're from the East Coast and you just want to test out the West Coast and see what it's like. Is that a good reason to do it? I mean, physical therapy is physical therapy, but different parts of the country have different flavors, different speeds, different lifestyles. Is that a good reason to go into it?
I think that's the best reason to go into it. That's why I went into it, just to travel around, see different places, see how PT is done elsewhere, and enjoy seeing the views. When you get into travel PT, you're sent somewhere for 3 months at a time, and it's basically a paid vacation. That's wrong to say.
Well, it's a paid work vacation, really, right? I mean, you're working, but also, I mean, it is kind of cool to be somewhere new. There's that whole, I'm the new kid in class, you know, all these restaurants in the area, and everything about it, the pace and the people is all new. That's a cool experience, and I didn't realize that the contracts were typically for 13 weeks, because that's pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, the contracts can be a little bit longer. I typically take more 6-month contracts at this point, because moving around 3 months at a time does begin to grind on you and wear you down a little bit. But I mean, with the traveling, your weekends are kind of like a vacation. Of course, you're working during the week, but it's nice to be able to travel somewhere, really immerse yourself in the population and the community, and to get paid for it.
That's not bad. So there's ups, seeing places like Hawaii and Colorado, and there's got to be some downs. Like I was checking out your blog, and you can check out James' website, hobohealth.com. A tale of two cars. You've got to give different vehicles in different locations. You've done assignments in the 49th and 50th states, which would be Hawaii and Alaska. You've had a Chevy RV. You've had a VW Passat in Hawaii that broke down within 2 weeks of owning it. A 97 4Runner, which you said, which was the best SUV feature ever, which was the power back window. So you've got to be pretty versatile in having these automobiles in different locations.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's a small thing. You know, that's just the beginning, the logistics of travel PT.
I bet.
You got to get vehicles. You got to get from point A to point B. You got to find a place to live. Of course, recruiting agencies can provide a place to live for you, but typically that's going to cost more than going out and finding a place of your own on Craigslist or similar. But you know, the real downsides are that there are bad jobs out there, but I really think they're in the vast minority. I've only come across one bad job in my entire time traveling. And when things go wrong, when you have bosses that are doing unethical things, then you need to know when the decision is right to walk away from that contract.
Yeah, because that is the one thing that has come up in thinking about doing travel PT, which is what you had alluded to several times, which is the nightmare assignment. Hey, you're coming here, you've signed a contract to be here for 13 weeks. You walk in week one, you're like, oh no, this is going to be no good. This is where I'm stuck for 13 weeks. But you've been doing it for a while, and that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, and I mean, first of all, we should say, I think most of those contracts can be avoided by asking the right questions on the interview.
All right, so what are the right questions?
So the right questions are, who's the boss? Who owns the place? Because that was one of the major problems on the one assignment that went upside down for me. You know, who owns the place? Who's your direct supervisor? I always also ask, who are my coworkers? Am I working with other physical therapists? Are there OTs, speech therapists involved? How many PTAs am I supervising? Are there other aides, techs, that sort of thing? I think that gives you a great picture of what the practice looks like and what's actually going on inside the walls on a daily basis. And I always ask about expected productivity.
That's,
you know, how many
one, right?
patients are you seeing in a day? Yeah, and that's a huge deal. You know, if you're seeing 16, 18, 20 patients in a day, then that's a red flag right there. And I would say for the last 6 years, I've probably worked one assignment where I don't get an hour per patient. And I think that can vary, you know, area to the country to area to the country. I think there's areas that expect higher productivity, but I try to look for jobs where I get an hour with every patient, and it's worked out well for me.
So it's like going on a new job interview or a job hunt every couple months, or you're saying now at this point you're doing 6-month contracts, looking to do a winter in Aspen and a summer somewhere else. How long is this somewhere else going to be for you guys? Been doing this for 10 years.
Who knows? That's the big question.
Yeah.
Started out doing it for 2 years, and here we are 8 years after that. I really don't know. We like Colorado a lot. Probably make that home someday, but who knows when that will be.
All right, well, let's go through it. What states have you worked in? Can you do it off the top of your head?
Absolutely. Massachusetts, a lot of assignments around Boston, which is home. My wife's from Maine, so we've done a lot up in Maine as well. Colorado, one assignment up in Anchorage, Alaska, which was an awesome 6 months. I did one in Chicago, and I think that's it, except for the private practice I started at that was in Burlington, Vermont.
So that's some varying climates, some varying speeds, some varying just feels of the American culture in that small snippet right there. It's got to be cool knowing that you're blowing into town. You know there's going to be an end. You're saying, hey, I'm blowing in and I'm going to work here for a while, but eventually this is going to end. Do you take more advantage of a local flavor, make sure you hit more local restaurants and do the touristy things if you know there's an end in sight?
Yeah, we hit some of the touristy things because, you know, I mean, in reality, we're just extended tourists. So it's fun to do that stuff. But I think the real appeal to travel PT is being able to immerse yourself in the community. And we're nailing that on this assignment. And I don't know what it is about this assignment, but it's different in different places how welcoming a community can be to you. And you said the word culture in there, and that's spot on. Every place's culture is a little bit different. But on this particular assignment, where we're getting involved in volunteer projects in the off hours, joined a canoe club where we're out paddling during the week.
Wow.
It's been cool to become a part of this community, which is so different from me, from who I am. I'm definitely the minority, the outsider here.
That's got to be interesting, because I imagine that the assignment in Alaska, you said Anchorage, that's a city, but it's still pretty small in terms of community, and you're on a rural island in Hawaii, but then you go to Chicago, you know, you go to Maine, you go to just outside Boston. Those are some varying areas of the country. What are some highlights? What are some cool memories that if you had to say, hey, if you are going to do this thing called Travel PT, here's a story or two. Here's a moment when I said, jackpot. This is why I'm a travel PT. This is why I do this weird variation of physical therapy.
Anchorage, Alaska, which they say is 15 minutes from Alaska. Because, you know, it is a city, and Alaska's a big country, and it takes about 15 minutes to get outside the city and then really be in the thick of it. But we hopped on Craigslist, bought that 1984 RV. Every weekend in Alaska was Friday night, work would end, pile into the RV, drive as far as we possibly could, north or east or south, and basically spent two full days out in the wilderness of Alaska, kinds of different things. Then we get back for Sunday night, and of course the work week would begin again. Part of the gig is having to get back to work, but we enjoyed weekends in that RV. It was awesome.
Yeah, you got some miles out of Alaska. I actually took a trip there during my first year in PT school with my roommate, David. And we went up and did a night in Anchorage, Alaska, where we slept in a hostel. And I'm not sure if I slept more than 5 or 10 minutes because it was kind of sketchy. But then we went out to Denali and just going out there around the park and checking out the sled dogs and doing some hiking in the park. I mean, when you say big country, that's what, when people ask me about Alaska, like, how was Alaska? And I usually just answer big. You don't realize how small you are until you see how big everything is. In Alaska, I feel like you could drive towards Denali for 3 hours and it never moves closer to you. It's just that big.
Denali on a clear day was out the window of the clinic I was in. We were up on the second floor.
Wow.
On a clear day, you could see it, but it was like you said, it was like a 3 or 4 hour drive to get to it. I just remember hike after hike where you'd pick a summit that you were going to. It's like, we're getting to the top. And you go up there and you get to the top and yeah, we've summited. This is great. And you look beyond it and there's like three more peaks down a ridge just higher than it. And you're like, what kind of summit is this?
That's a cool experience. We didn't climb Denali, but we hiked around it and it was just kind of always off looming in the distance. And that's definitely something on, I know David's, and maybe if he can twist my arm a little bit, eventually we'll get to being able to climb something that big.
That's burly. We met, there's this guy in Aspen, Colorado. So we were working with someone close to him, and he was coming and started talking to him. And this was before I'd gone out to Anchorage at all. And I knew he had done some guiding up on Denali. But, you know, he just says these things like, real humble guy, got this big gray, like long beard. And he says these things casually in conversation, like, oh yeah, my daughter was the youngest girl to ever climb it. My son is the youngest person ever to climb it or whatever. And I asked him, I said, you know, is that something that you just have to train for and you can just walk up it if you need, like there's a trail and you just go? And he was kind of like, yeah, that's all it is. But come to find out later, he had been on like the first winter ascent of it. People had died. They had lost toes and fingers. I mean, it's just that big country. That's huge. Cold, unforgiving.
I've never been to Hawaii, but I've got to say, if there's two different points in the United States that are further from each other in terms of climate and probably speed and just feel, is it Alaska and Hawaii?
Yeah, probably. I guess so. Anchorage was rainy a lot. Rainy, and I think we had about 7 weeks of summer. Outside of that, it was pretty cold. Snowed in September and it just stuck to the ground. It didn't melt in or anything. It just stayed there. Here in Hawaii, it's sunny most days on a lot of parts of the island. Other parts of the island, it's raining all the time, but that's how you get jungles. It's really varied. The activities, the hiking and everything up there in the mountains and the everything on the ocean here, the canoeing, the swimming, the kayaking, the scuba, the snorkeling, just laying on the beach.
All right. Great. Is your clinic hiring that where you're at right now? Because I can be on a plane in less than 24 hours.
They are. They've got travelers. They need to hire.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. We know that there's a need. You mentioned the deficit of 28,000 therapists across the country. Let's get down to the money end of it. You know, should someone go into it for the right reasons in terms of getting out and seeing the country and being a physical therapist and spreading this thing that we call physical therapy across the country and filling some needs? What's the rate? What's the money end of travel PT? How does that work?
The biggest money parts of travel PT are the tax-free monies you get. You got possibly little things like travel stipends and reimbursement of your licensure and like that you get on the front end going into a contract. But the big daily things are your housing stipend and your daily per diem. And these two things are allowed by the IRS to be given to you tax-free.
Wow, it's a big, big win.
If you have a tax home. And a tax home is basically a place that you can call home, that you're financially invested in, whether it's a room you're renting or whether it's a place you own. And as long as you have that, then there's tax-free money to be made out there. It's all regulated by the IRS, how much you can make in each location you're in. But that's where, when people talk about making more money with travel PT, that's what they're talking about. Yeah. It's that tax-free money. And I've done a lot of thinking about it, never really crunching the numbers. But I think once you add in all the traveling from place to place and the stocking up on your household goods every few months and all of that, I don't know that you really come out that far ahead as a traveling PT money-wise. There are assignments out there in less desirable places where you can make a lot more money. And that's why they're paying a lot more, because they can't get anybody to stay there. And if you seek those out, then yeah, you can make quite a bit more money than you would otherwise. But otherwise, I think it about comes out in the wash. But at the same time, you're getting to pick where you want to live for a little bit of time, seeing new places, meeting different people, and in my opinion, living it up.
And experience a lot of that culture. Yeah, I mean, I'm approaching the end of my PT career. We did graduation back in May, but we end on a clinical rotation, so I'm still a student right now. I'm not 100% sure where I want to end up, so maybe I'll dip my toe into the travel PT market and see where I can end up. But it looks like it probably recruits a certain type of person and personality, someone who's a little bit like, yeah, let's throw a bunch of stuff into the camper and just go off into the tundra, right?
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. There's a certain flexibility you need for it, both in logistics and living lifestyle, finding new places, finding cars, finding ways to get from A to B. But there's also a flexibility in that every clinic you walk into is going to want to do things a little bit differently. And you're not there to convince them that your way is the right way. You're there to fill a staffing need and do what they need, not have them be what you need. So that's a little bit of the downside of it.
Which is essentially what you're doing, is you are literally rolling into town and filling a need, which is why they brought you across the country or from Alaska to Hawaii, is you need to fill that need that clinic has had. So yeah, you probably need to be pretty pliable. You probably need to be pretty flexible in terms of how you deal with a lot of people. I'm guessing this is the type of PT that would require you to have some pretty good people skills. Not that any type of PT you can be lacking people skills, but this one you probably got to be pretty good at making friends, especially with coworkers that you're going to be rubbing elbows with every day.
Absolutely, and you know, you got to be able to hit the ground running and learn their documentation systems quick and get down to do PT the way they're used to it being done.
Just learning how to make friends quick, because you're essentially starting, you're starting a new job every couple of months. So it's that first day of school feeling where you've got the shiny new clothes on every couple months, and you've got to make friends because, hey, you've got to hit the ground running. You've got to be productive because that's why you were brought in, right?
I'm great at making friends weeks 10, 11, and 12. I don't know why. That's always how it works. The last few weeks of assignment, you meet great people and end up hanging out.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. When we come back, I want to talk about independent contracts, some international travel, and then tiny living. I've seen these the TV shows about the tiny little campers and like the 200 square foot things you can tow behind your RV. I want to talk about that. We'll be back on the PT Pinecast with James Spencer. Don't move.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is powered by PTLive.me. PT Live wants you to know you love ortho, but love doesn't always pay the rent. And let's face it, home health is, well, home health. Join PT Live's growing team of on-demand physical therapists working from anywhere, anytime, with anyone. Screen patients, help clinics nationwide, and next date night you can say, have the ribeye, honey. PTLive.me. We'll take it from here. PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. 6-week online review courses with live webinars, personal attention from instructors through email, phone, or Skype, and practice tests. Choose from their Mastermind Study Group or the NPTE Home Study Bundle. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. DJ, please. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pintcast.
All right, we're back in the PT Pintcast. You can find our guest on Twitter at Hobo Health or his website, hobohealth.com. We're talking with James Spencer. We're talking travel PT. I got to say, you're probably the biggest. Are you one of the biggest experts doing this? I mean, you've been doing this for almost 10 years. Anybody you know that you've rubbed elbows with at conferences doing it longer than you?
There are bigger websites out there, but everyone that I know of is owned by a recruiting agency. You go searching for travel PT information, it's mostly given out by the agencies.
But those are agencies. Do you know of any other PTs who have been doing travel PT for as long as you and the wife?
I do not.
That's a long time, a decade of traveling.
It is, and I think because of our situation traveling together, and also because we've kind of rolled into going back to the same place in Colorado every year, I think that's allowed us to prolong it. Otherwise, I think you quit after 2, 3, 4 years. You either find someone that you want to settle down with, or you find a job you want to settle down with, or you find a place you want to settle down with. But because of what we've got going, we're able to keep it going.
Yeah, that is a unique situation, is that you guys are both into this. So, you know, the wife comes along with you, and she gets it because of the travel bug and the culture bug and also the PT bug, where you guys get to kind of wrap all those things together. And as you brought up, you do have that grounded winter place, so it's almost like you live there and then you're kind of traveling out, but you're always coming to a home, which has got to be nice.
Exactly. It's awesome. It does give a home base for everything as logistical as mail, but also just the feeling of knowing when December 1st rolls around that I'm going home, going back to friends, job, an apartment that I know, that are familiar to me.
And I've heard in Aspen, the beer flows like wine.
It does flow like wine, and the women flock like the salmon of the Capistrano.
How do you go wrong with that window and that movie and that reference? You just can't.
You cannot.
All right. We want to talk about tiny living. I've seen some of the shows on, I think it's the Discovery Channel, where people make those tiny little tow behinds, living out of a camper, living out of an RV. How many times have you guys had to do that? Because your blog has mentioned you guys having to dabble in that.
Last summer, we were in Martha's Vineyard and had accepted jobs, but started to look for housing around there. And it was just astronomical, you know, to rent an apartment for a week when as high as like $2,500
wow.
on the low.
Because it's all rentals, right?
Yeah, it's all rentals. And they want, and you know, the people who own them want to rent them for the week because they can make great money doing it. There's very little available there for people for a longer period of time. But we started looking at options like houseboats, various things like that. But we finally settled on a camper. And we went up to Maine, bought a camper, towed it down, found a campground there that had an opening. We got really lucky. They said sometimes they have wait lists of 8 years, but they happen to have two
wow.
open spots. Popped our camper in there and lived out of it for the whole summer. It was great.
Martha's Vineyard, man, that's got to be sweet.
It was fun. Beach every weekend. We fell into a great group of friends early on, but living in the camper was really the highlight. I mean, it was 144 square feet or something. We just brought two suitcases apiece, me and my wife, and really life was just simple. We didn't need anything more than that. Dinner every night was out on the front deck at a table with the Sox game on the radio, and it was just a really good quality of life.
Well, I agree with everything you just said, except I was born in the Bronx and I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm really sorry. I'm just going to interject that right there. But I'll say that, you know, you
I
guys,
can't interview like this.
You can hang up with me now. But what you're doing is, some people go on a vacation and they bring some work with you, but you're going on a work trek that really is a vacation. I mean, you highlight Martha's Vineyard. You couldn't find housing because it's so expensive, because so many people want to go there because it's such a great location. And you found a way to say, you know what, I'm going to go there and work for a couple of months. And then you twist it by doing the whole living in a camper thing, and you kind of make it fun. It's got to be a real cool aspect to the whole travel PT thing, is taking the work on the road. And PT is and should be everywhere.
Yeah, and now that I lived in a camper, I've become aware of all these healthcare traveling professionals through nursing, PT, the other therapies that are living in campers, and there's really some great resources out there. for people who want to live in a camper and travel.
Yeah, you mentioned realizing what you need to have with you and what you don't need to have with you. I mentioned that trip to Alaska. We also went to Bellingham, Washington for a hiking trip. And when you have to carry everything you own on your back, you get pretty stingy. And I think that's a cool way to look at what you and the wife are doing. Is you're going around the country and you're saying, let's just cut everything down to the bare bones. What do I need? I need somewhere to live. I need someone to travel with me. I need some purpose to get out of bed. And that's physical therapy for you guys. And that's a cool story.
Yeah, and here, you know, here in Hawaii, you got to bring everything out by plane. So we got two big bags apiece and a small backpack each. And you don't miss anything. That's the amazing thing. And I've got this storage area back in Colorado haunting me with, like, 7 pairs of skis, winter tires, all kinds of jackets, and suitcases of t-shirts that I'm doing just fine all summer this year without. And it does make you question how much do I need that stuff.
Yeah, when people ask me, I'm a big movie guy, I love movies, and one of my favorites is the movie Fight Club, Ed Norton and Brad Pitt. And one of the lines from the movie and the book is the things you own end up owning you. And you kind of are living that whole Brad Pitt mantra in the Tyler Durden-esque way of looking at it is, you know what, cut everything loose, what do I need? I need some clothes, I need a place to lay my head, and I need something to do. You're not making soap, but you're doing PT.
You know, and this is a stray from where we're headed, but I mean, TV is one thing. Living in the camper without TV was blissful. It was wonderful. I occasionally pulled up a Netflix episode of something. For the most part, no TV at all. Used radio, read books, lived completely without it, and it definitely didn't decrease my quality of life. If anything, it enhanced my quality of life. But it's so easy. The second you move into that apartment where the cable's set up, the TV's right there, before you know it, it's grinding on 3-4 hours a night. Yeah. Even if it's background, it's distracting. I think it takes away. I wish I could live up to what I really thought about TV, which is don't watch it at all.
I'll be honest, PT school for me anyway, living with 3 other PT students, was pretty similar to that. We had a big old 60-inch TV, and unless there was a giant sporting, you know, game on, unless it was like Game 7 of the NBA Finals, we kind of had it off because we had stuff to do. And now that I'm just in my final clinical right now, I am studying for the boards, that TV kind of stays off, and I really do hope that thing stays off after I'm done with school, because I agree with you completely. That whole TV thing, it's a mind suck and it's a time suck.
Yeah, it accomplishes nothing productive. The only decrease in my quality of life is hopping on Facebook and I see friends talking about whatever series. I won't name any, but
right.
I have no idea what's going on there, but that's a small thing in life. I have so much more free time every afternoon, every evening.
Yeah, whenever my friends who aren't in PT school, my buddies from high school or something, will say, hey, have you seen the show? And I just stop them right there and I say, no, I haven't seen any series in the last 3 years because I've been studying or reviewing for something. But then people will say, they'll ask me, you know, hey, how do you have time to do a podcast while you're in PT school and do all these other things you do? I'm like, you know what? I lost TV and I wasn't bummed out about it. And that's a big time suck that I can put towards other things. And look, if nobody ever listens to another episode of this podcast, you know, that's cool. I can't control that, but I still get something out of it. And I'm getting more out of doing this, talking to people like you and people like Nick Ballinger, who I just interviewed, than I am watching a couple episodes of a show. I mean, shows are great. You know, I get sucked in every once in a while and I binge, but I'm not really missing it, similar to how you guys were out on Martha's Vineyard.
Couldn't agree more.
So international travel, you brought up that some people actually ask you some questions. You're kind of the expert. When you have a website called Hobo Health and you're talking about travel PT, people are going to ask you some questions. So international travel, what do you know about it? What's the skinny?
And I'm not going to pretend to know everything there is to know about international travel, but I know this much. Typically, you go and you look for a job first. You look for a place in some of the countries that are easier to bring you over. There's some in the Middle East. I have a friend who's working in Qatar recently.
And they're American trained?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And really, you know, interesting cultural side note there, they have the men's and women's side of therapy divided. So she's working with women only, and the male therapists work with men only.
Wow, didn't think about that.
Fascinating experiences that she's been having over there. But New Zealand's a popular one for people to go to because, as I understand it, they will accept most cases of reciprocity for our licenses. Australia, in most cases, will make you retake your board exams over there, take the Australian exam. Basically, as I understand it, you want to go and find a job first. And once you find that job, that company sponsors you to come over. They work on your visa. They work on the pay package and all of that. And then the downside to that is you typically have to commit to 2 years. So they don't want you for 13 weeks at a time,
right,
6 months at a time, which has been the barrier for me. I'm very comfortable in 3 and 6 months at a time. When we start talking 2 years, that's a long stretch of time.
Long way, yep.
But it has been done, and they typically want someone with a few years of experience.
That's got to be a big culture shock and then a big work culture shock in terms of how things are done. I'm sure you have to adjust a lot to something international like that, especially somewhere in the Middle East. I didn't think about that. I didn't realize that happened.
It's wild. It wouldn't be the first place I would think of to travel to, but, you know, people's life situations take them different places, and their desire to adventure and be adventuresome.
You mind taking some questions from Facebook and Twitter, and we can see if you've been asked these questions before, since you get asked so many?
Sure, I'd love it. Shoot.
All right, let's hit on Twitter. This one's from James Buenaventura at Buenaventura DPT on Twitter. How do you negotiate your salary as a travel PT? Are there other things that factor into what you're paid, like rent? You mentioned the housing before. How's that work?
Best off is to take as much of the money as you can that's available. You know, take the housing stipend, take the per diem, and don't have the company find housing for you. When they do that, it costs you more. So the way a contract typically works is a recruiting agency will work with the facilities that need someone to come in for staffing, and they'll be paid a certain block of money by the facility. And then basically that's divided into two parts. Part of that money goes to the company, the agency that hires the recruiter, and the other part of that money to the travel PT. They have standards of how much they're going to offer the travel PT, and you can negotiate up and try to grab a little bit bigger piece of that pie from the recruiter, but they're incentivized to have you take less because they're going to get a bigger chunk of that pie if they don't pay you as much. Mm-hmm. So in most situations, what I've found, they're going to offer you amount of money, and there's a little bit of wiggle room in there. I do think you should always ask for a little bit more. See whether you can get some reimbursement for your licensure, for travel. See if you can get another dollar an hour or something like that. And typically, they're receptive to that. They'll give you a little bit more. But a lot of times, that rate is set by the bigger company, and you're not going to make any great change to it. And with that said, there's big differences between recruiting agencies. So if you've done a few travel assignments with a few different companies, you might be able to see that this company pays me a better rate than that company.
Yeah, you mentioned before with about 300 recruiting agencies. Do your homework and shop around, especially if you're going to be committing 13 weeks or maybe 6 months of your life to an assignment. Make sure you do your homework. And as you said, you should always negotiate. Everything is negotiable.
Absolutely. And always look with two or three companies at a time. Don't be afraid. And if a company tells you, because I've been hearing this lately, which totally appalls me, is companies are telling people, oh, no, you look with me and me only. If you don't look with just me as a recruiter, then I'm not going to work for you. And I think that's total hogwash. I think you got to look with two or three companies,
yeah.
Pin them against each other. They're going to have different jobs from each other.
That's a scare tactic right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Next question comes from at Tony PT, which is Tony Trin SPT. What's your opinion on jumping into travel PT straight out of school? We touched on this a little bit earlier. Is it possible? Is it not for everyone? Or is it for no one? Or hey, screw it, just do it.
Like we mentioned, everybody has different life paths and life situations. And at times, sometimes when you come out of school, that's going to be your best opportunity to jump into travel PT. And I think if anybody has the urge to get into travel PT, they should absolutely explore it. With that said, if you can get a few months of experience, then you're going to be a lot more marketable to the jobs you're looking for. And someone had asked about how come there's no orthopedic private practice positions available for new grads. And the reason is you have no experience. And if you had some experience, those opportunities would become available to you. And when you go out against a couple other candidates who are trying for the same job, if you have some experience in whatever practice setting as a full-time PT, that's going to work to your advantage.
Yeah, that question was actually from Ryan Haskins, which is at Ryan Haskins SPT, asking about the outpatient ortho placements. All right, we've got a question. This one's pretty specific, but we'll ask it. Any recommendations or things to know if a new grad PT has some small kids and an RN as a wife? Hashtag relocating from Zach Boyd.
I've had friends travel in a lot of different situations. People travel with kids. People travel with dogs. People travel with nurse wives, ER doc wives, speech language pathologist wives. I've seen it all from friends. And the biggest thing is you just got to be flexible. And in fact, if you do want to travel and get out there on the road and you got the kids, it might be the perfect situation for you. If she's able to work a nighttime shift, you're able to work a day shift. There's a lot of flexible opportunities out there for travelers, and you don't have to be defined by the 9-to-5 13-week contract. Everything can be tweaked a little bit to your needs.
Last question from Twitter. This is also from James Buenaventura. One question asked, when are you finally going to settle down?
What's that?
Yeah, good answer. I like that. Yeah, I hope never, man. You're living the dream out there. The guy's wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now. What month is it? We're in June. In a couple months, it's going to get a little cooler. And you're going to be on the slopes by when in Aspen?
Around December 1st, we'll pull back into Aspen. And I love it there. Probably we'll have that as home someday. That might be really soon. That might be a little ways off. I just don't know. And that's the beautiful thing about Travel PT is that I really don't have to know until my contract is up in the middle of November. And then I'll go back to Aspen and I'll be there until April and we'll see what happens beyond that.
I hope the answer is never, just because you seem like a great guy and I'd love to be able to come and crash on your couch or, you know, somewhere in your back porch. Or maybe I'll live in your camper or something like that in Aspen. I'll bring the skis and we'll just have a couple of beers in the back porch. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic. Anytime. Awesome. Open invite.
So Travel PT, if people have questions, you can shoot them on Twitter at Hobo Health is where you're going to find James, on his website, hobohealth.com. Each episode is a pint. Before we're done with each pint, we do shots, which is parting shots of wisdom. What do you have for people out there who are thinking about, learning about this thing that is Travel PT? What do you want to leave people with?
I think it's a great lifestyle. You just have to be flexible. When you're looking at setting or where you want to go, you can find your dream job. You just might have to be a little bit flexible on whether you definitely want to do outpatient or you definitely want to do inpatient. Maybe it's in itself. Maybe somewhere close to where you want to be will present itself. There's a lot of opportunities out there and it could be the opportunity of a lifetime, but you do have to be a flexible person.
Flexibility in Travel PT, that's something I even could have picked out. When you're moving around and going to different places in the country like that and definitely doing more than 20 locations in 10 years between you and your wife, that's a lot of travel, a lot of learning new ways to do work with people in the clinical setting. That's flexibility. We'll just do hashtag flexibility for Travel PT. Again, at Hobo Health on Twitter and online at hobohealth.com. You can find James Spencer. I appreciate this this episode, except I'm a little jealous because, again, you're wearing the Hawaiian shirt. Nice weather here in Northern Virginia, but man, that Hawaiian shirt is just making me miss being at the beach.
It's been great being here. Thanks for having me.
Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at ptpintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.